At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Have you ever burnt out doing something you really enjoy? How can you get ahead of burnout to prevent it from ever happening? Let's learn more in today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we break down financial complexity into everyday conversation. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Hannah Tackett about burnout. Some of us may have experienced burnout, and some of us might not have experienced it fully yet. So, today's episode is going to talk about both burnout itself and how to get ahead of it. I want this episode to be a guiding light to help you avoid burnout, because if we can keep it from ruining jobs that we like, that would be great. Often, people feel like they need to leave a job they love because of burnout. So please use today's episode as a way to get ahead of burning out at work or whatever you like to do in your life. A key piece that I took away from today's interview is the four success traps that we often lay for ourselves that lead to burnout. So you want to make sure you have a pen and paper ready for today's episode, because I know you're going to want to take notes and review what you learned today. The money talking points for today's episode are: do you have any symptoms of emotional erosion? And 2, are you prone to any of the four success traps? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Hannah Tackett. We're here to talk about getting ahead of burnout, because so often maybe we think about it after the fact, but what can we do to get in front of it a little bit to help us out? Hannah, thank you so much for joining. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm Hannah Tackett, and I help high-achieving women who are struggling with burnout. I help them end the cycle of people-pleasing so they can experience success with energy, focus, and serenity. And yeah, I'm very excited to be here. It's a big topic. I know people have been reporting burnout kind of on the rise. It's been increasing. So
like forever on the rise. But even just as you started out there saying you help people get out of the people-pleasing mindset, I've had a couple recent podcasts talking about the differences between men and women in money and things like that. And I think people-pleasing plays into those episodes as well, because often one of the first thoughts that came to my mind is that women can tend to be underpaid because they don't ask, because they are afraid to rock the boat, so to speak. So I'm excited for this conversation. That made me just think of a couple of previous episodes. But let's start out here. Is it possible to avoid burnout altogether with the different demands that work puts on us?
I think it is, yes. And that's coming from, you know, myself, and I've burnt out multiple times in multiple industries. Mm-hmm. But since my last burnout, which was the pivotal kind of tipping point for me and how I got into this work, I have not burned out again. So there are ways, even with a bad job, even with a bad boss, to prevent burning out. And we can get into what those steps are. They're really the same steps that we go through to end burnout.
Is it possible then, can you still burn out in a job you love? Is that something people still need to be aware of?
Yes, it's huge. Actually, that's really very common. People get into a job and a career that they are extremely passionate about, and they lose that passion. They start to resent the job.
Yeah. And then they want to leave, and they're like, wow, I thought I loved this industry. Mm-hmm. I loved my job. I loved it for the first 5 years. And then they want to bounce out of there. But what are the red flags they need to look for, whether you're in a bad or good job? How do we catch those flags?
Absolutely. So I like to think of burnout as, a lot of people think of it as kind of like a sudden thing that happens, like a switch was flipped and suddenly you're burned out. But that really isn't the case. So what burnout is it's a progressive thing. So it's something that happens in stages. So it sneaks up on us, really. So it's accumulated stress over time. And the first stage of burnout is what I like to think of as like the stealthy stress. And that's when you're starting to feel irritable. Maybe you're having some anxiety and maybe struggling with some insomnia, poor concentration or brain fog, maybe some tummy troubles, headaches, self-criticism. And those are all just signs of unmanaged stress, really. But what happens if we don't deal with that stress, if we don't shift things in our life and those symptoms begin to pile up week after week, month after month, year after year, then we experience what I like to think of as like emotional erosion. And that's where that increasing emotional exhaustion leads to cynicism, dread, and detachment from your work and personal life. And that's where you start to see people, you know, feeling cynical, where you start to have dread or like the Sunday scaries. And I know it, before my burnout, like I started having the Sunday scaries on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. I felt like my soul was just dropping out of my body and I did not want to come back and it would ruin my weekend. And then if you don't deal with, if you're not dealing with the underlying stress, if you're not dealing with the situation causing that stress, then you head into what I think of as like the performance paralysis. And this is what everyone is calling burnout. And that's where, you know, you have that severe burnout stage where you have significant decline in performance and health issues and difficulty getting out of bed and prolonged hours where you're at work, but you're not being productive. And that's what people think of when they think of burnout, but really it's a journey. You know, it takes a while to get there.
Yeah. So if we can catch it ahead of time, is it possible to reverse course, or are we just barreling towards explosion waiting to happen?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I think the best time to catch it is when you start feeling resentful. I think that's the flag to tune into. When you start resenting your job, your boss, your day to day, that is the big red flag to, hey, I need to change how I'm showing up here. Things need to shift. And don't ignore it. I think we tend to ignore that resentment, or we try to push it down like, oh, I shouldn't feel resentful. I should feel grateful and fake it, you know? But really we should be like, oh, I feel resentful. That's a sign. That is a signal that things need to change.
And maybe that people are feeling that resentfulness and maybe they're worried to talk to their boss, because is that something that commonly comes up, that we're afraid to talk about it with people and we don't want to kind of share through our feelings and maybe make the changes at work?
Right. Yes and no. So sometimes it's not like the boss is the problem. Sometimes it's not even the job that's the problem, although we think it is. Usually.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and it can be. Like, I've had terrible jobs and I've had wonderful jobs and I've managed to burn out at both. So the folks that end up coming to me and like in my program, we can talk about like the five success traps that lead to burnout, or to kind of help drive people beyond success and into burnout. We can get into that. But yeah, fear of bringing it up is one thing, because you don't want to admit that you're weak. You don't want to admit that you're struggling, especially in a very competitive landscape. You don't want to be like,
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah. The weak link over here, you know, you don't really want to point yourself out like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that is really the best thing to do. So there's definitely ways to get help, and it depends on your boss and depends on the culture of your environment, whether or not you really want to go to your boss and be like, I'm burning out.
Sounds like something, then maybe there's professional help outside of work that you might need to help, especially if you are in that competitive environment. It might really prove like bad for you if you do bring it up, and you wouldn't want that, because then it would just, I think, pile on the stress and worry in that time. But you mentioned the five success traps, and I love it when my guests perfectly transition to my next question, because I was going to ask you, what are the five success traps that lead to burnout?
Right. So the success traps that I've seen people fall into, or that, you know, we've talked about over and over again, is they're the same. There's these behaviors, and they're behaviors that have driven us to success, but when out of balance or when taken to an extreme, they can also drive us to burnout. And so the first one that you hear coming up often is the people pleasing, right? And so, you know, you're trying to keep your boss happy, your kids happy, your spouse happy, and your needs inevitably are bottom of the list. And then, you know, if you're really struggling with people pleasing, usually you have a struggle around saying no, or you don't even realize that you can say no to, you know, the pile that keeps on accumulating. And that's one success trap. And, you know, all of these traps are like, there's like a flip side of the coin. So on one side, making other people happy can push you forward and accelerate your career. But when rooted in fear, when out of balance, it can definitely drive you to burnout. And then the second success trap that I see all the time is perfectionism. And this is, you know, the impossibly high standards, the high attention to detail, which are not bad things in moderation.
Yeah, they get you to the point where you are successful, like you said.
Yeah, they drive you to success. But when rooted in fear, when you're doing it to prove that you're worthy, when you're doing it out of fear of criticism, when you're doing it out of fear of losing your job, when you're doing it out of habit, you know, that's when, you know, taking too far, it can drive you to burnout. And a common characteristic that I see with people who struggle with perfectionism is that they are reluctant to delegate because no one else can do it as well as they can or the way that they would. And being unable to let things go and like delegate and build a team will accelerate your path to burnout if you're heading that direction. The third success trap that I've seen is overhelping. And this comes from a good, beautiful place, right? You want to be helpful. You want to be helpful and boost your team and everything. And I was definitely this person. So, and what it means is like, okay, so helping is good. I'm not going to say helping people is bad. But when you are overextending and picking up the problems and responsibilities of others, then you're crossing that line from helping into kind of overextending yourself. Mm-hmm. And that can drive you to burnout for sure. Yeah. And then the fourth one is being too busy. And I know that we have this whole culture of being busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being busy is like the hustle culture, the busyness, and people feel like to be busy is to be worthy. So if you're double and triple booked all day, then you're needed and you're important and you're worthy. If you're busy and constantly on the move, then you're valuable and you're doing something. But it's not necessarily the case. And being too busy all the time, being caught up in the trap of like the never ending to-do list. And the minute you check off one to-do, you don't pause to celebrate or acknowledge, you're on to the next big goal, right? Just this constant achievement. And that can drive you to success, absolutely, but out of balance can drive us to burnout and deplete our resources.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm hearing all of these and just thinking of examples in my career and others around me. There's a lot of people like in my workplace where it's like they're sending emails at 5 and 6 a.m. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You're driving yourself crazy to get on top of things the moment you wake up. Mm-hmm. How do we maybe become aware of some of these? I know listening to this is going to help a lot of people, but maybe what are some little thoughts we can take to catch some of these before they take us down?
Right. Well, I think that like if you struggle to say no and you... Or you look at your calendar and you think that you can't say no, you feel like you can't say no. That is a big red flag. Like, okay, if you're afraid of saying no, you can't say no, you struggle to say no, you feel like you need permission, you feel like something bad's going to happen, you're going to lose your job, someone's going to get mad at you or be disappointed in you, that's an issue. Because saying no is a skill, right? I feel like some of us, depending on how you grew up, and I did feel this way when I was younger and into my career, was that I was just not good at saying no, or I didn't know how, or I didn't think I could. And then when I realized, okay, saying no is a skill, you know, there's ways to
do it. It really is. It's so easy to say yes.
And it takes practice, and there's ways to do it that will benefit you and benefit the person you're saying no to. I know in my career, when I started saying no, it's kind of had the opposite effect that I thought it would. I thought I'm going to get laid off. You know, everyone around me is being laid off. I'm going to get the boot, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when I started saying no, the way that I would do it would be like, well, we have this many resources. Would you like, you know, this thing that you're asking for done now or later? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, would you like this thing that you're asking for done or this other thing? You know, would you like to prioritize? We have this many resources in this much time. Would you like to have this thing done in X amount of time with our resources we have today? Would you like to add more resources and get it done faster? And I started having these conversations where I was just kind of framing a realistic scenario to getting whatever it was done with the resources at hand. And what it ended up happening was they gave me more resources. I didn't get laid off.
More money or more team.
They gave me the team. Yeah. So instead of doing five people's job, I got like three or four team members to help do the thing. And so that was kind of a surprise to me. And then looking back, it's obvious. But in the moment, I was like, oh, my goodness, I should have done this 10 years ago. You know? So saying no is a good thing. And it can actually propel you forward. It won't get you fired if you do it the right way.
Love it.
And you said, you know, what things should we notice or tune into? I think most people who are perfectionists know they are. Like, that's not a secret.
You tell everyone you are, and it maybe isn't a great thing.
It's almost like a badge of honor. If you're too busy, you know you are, also a badge of honor. If you're helping everyone on your team at the expense of your own well-being, you know this. You know you're doing it. It's also kind of a badge of honor. That's where that whole hustle culture comes in. Like, what I'm asking people to do is a little bit counterculture, which is why it's so important to get help to do it. Because I'm saying, okay, you don't need to people please. You don't need to be a perfectionist. You don't need to be overextending yourself and solving everyone else's problems. And you don't need to be too busy all the time. And when you step away from these things, as counterintuitive as it sounds, you will accelerate your productivity. You will accelerate your impact. And you will accelerate your career. And you have the time and the energy to enjoy the success that you're creating in your life. And you'll have the time and energy to enjoy your life, your actual real life, your people that you love. So it's counterintuitive, not popular, but highly effective.
I think really what I'm hearing is in all sorts of these different aspects, it speaks to getting other people to help you, because you can try to take everything on yourself and you might be able to do it for a little while, but that's what barrels you towards that burnout, is not getting other people to help you, whether it's your boss helping you out with a couple tasks, or like you said, you say no, and then suddenly you have a team around you and you're like, wow, this is easy. We're doing so much more work than we used to. So I love the idea of delegating and involving people in what we want to do, because it's just one, I think it's more fun when you're like working with people and having a good time doing that. But I have here that there's a surprising key to ending burnout that I'm excited to learn about. And I'm sure all our listeners are. What is that key?
Okay. This is going to sound kind of out there, but hang in there with me. So the surprising key that I thought was just wasn't what I was expecting when I, when I, you know, pieced it together is authenticity. And you're like, what on earth does authenticity have to do with ending burnout? but let me break it down so it's a little bit more tactical, right? So when you're in alignment with your values, when you know who you are and what your core values are, and you're aligning your actions with those things, it'll reduce the internal conflict that often contributes to burnout. Because if you are feeling dissonance in your soul between what you're doing and where you want to be, that will suck the life out of you and is a big contributing factor to burnout if you resent what you're doing every day. It also reduces emotional fatigue, because when you are authentic and you're able to express your thoughts, feelings, and needs honestly, that can reduce the exhaustion that you're feeling by fostering genuine connections with others and creating that supportive, like you're saying, that supportive environment where you have the team and the resources that you need. It also, you know, stepping into authenticity also increases self-awareness. And where that plays a role is that you understand your strengths, your limitations, and your boundaries. And that will help you to set realistic expectations for yourself and others. And it reduces the likelihood of overcommitment, which will lead to burnout. So those are just three ways that stepping into authenticity can completely shift your dynamic with how you're showing up for work and how you're showing up for yourself. Yeah.
Makes you trust yourself a little bit more too. It gives you confidence in yourself to say no, because you're like, my main value is my family. And that means I'm not going to work after five. And so when tasks are being given, it's, I'm doing this till five. And if I get it done, great. If not, we'll do it tomorrow and things are going to be okay. They're going to work out. So
Absolutely. That's
fantastic.
Yes.
What are the five steps to end burnout? So you're dealing with it. How do you end it and make sure it doesn't happen again?
Absolutely. So these are really important. And I broke it down into this method. I call it the peace method. And so the first one is to pursue your yes. And that, you know, ties back to that authenticity conversation where, you know, getting clear on what matters to you in this season of your life. What does success mean to you? And like really getting crisp on that definition, because it doesn't have to make sense to anybody else or look like anyone else's version of success. And really ditching all of the shoulds, you know, all the expectations that we've kind of picked up along the way. The second step is to energize your being. And so, you know, that's eating for energy, improving your sleep, connecting with loved ones, incorporating some joyful movement. It also involves resetting your nervous system. So shifting from that flight or flight response that's on all the time to a rest and digest and heal space, which is also the optimal space for creative thinking. And then really seeing the trauma, you know, the trauma that's driving the fear-based behaviors, those five success traps, letting, you know, working through that and letting that go so you can move forward. The third step is to assert your voice. And this one's like my favorite. And this is how you, you know, you learn how to ask for what you want and get it. And you also learn the ways to say no and gain confidence in doing that. So that's the third one, learning how to be assertive, asserting your voice. And the fourth one is claiming your surplus, because if you've done one, two, and three, if you've pursued your yes, energized your being, and asserting your voice, you will have more time, more energy, more focus. And what we want to make sure that we do is that we claim that new energy and we focus it on what matters to you, right? So we want to claim that and then leverage that to elevate your success, which is the last step, which is like springboarding, you know, going from a state of burnout to a state of, you know, springboarding into your next big thing.
Love it. And I'm hearing so many, I guess, cross threads through ways that people can improve their finances. Maybe you figure out what you want to do with your money. Mm-hmm. You excite yourself for it. You maybe start tracking your spending in order to energize yourself and align your values. And then you say, here's how I want to spend my money. Here's how I don't want to spend it. And then you get all that extra money that you've been wondering where it went because mm-hmm. you've now aligned your values and everything like that. So there's a lot of cross threads between your peace method that apply to both burnout. And I think you can apply it to other areas of our lives.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I love that. And how can people, like, what if you're so deep? I guess I'm thinking of someone who's maybe really in burnout. How do they maybe get help with something like this? Is this something that, do you do coaching? How does that work?
Yes. So I have, what I call this, the Serene Success System, and it's a group program, 90 days. So we do weekly group coaching. There's 3 one-on-ones with me, and it's this beautiful program. I've seen amazing results come out of it too. It's mm-hmm. really, really fantastic, where we go through the peace method together.
Cool.
And you get the scripts on how to say no. You get the scripts on how to ask for what you want and get it. You get the support in making these fundamental shifts and in stepping out of hustle culture and into, you know, real productivity and healing. And so, yeah, I mean, like, the women that I work with have a habit of burning out, right? They're not just burning mm-hmm. out once. They're burning out in multiple jobs, careers, in multiple aspects of their life. And so if this is you and, you know, you're ready to break the cycle, you can get on a call with me at like serenesuccess.net. And if you feel like, well, I might be struggling with one of those success traps, but I'm not really sure where to go from there, you can also find a quiz at the same place, serenesuccess.net, where you can identify the success trap that is dragging you down the most and find the next best steps from there.
Awesome. That sounds like a great way for people to take a step towards overcoming this problem. And mm-hmm. I really wanted to, when I saw you online and we figured out we were going to do a podcast together, I was like, I think this would be great for people to get ahead of it. As mm-hmm. well, do you think, what's the value in being aware of these things before burnout comes up? How much more time does that save people?
It saves years. It saves years. I have spoken with women who have taken 3-4 years to recover from a burnout because they push themselves so hard and so far. So, I mean, if you pause at resentment and you start to make these changes, or if you see this pattern in your life, like, I, you know, if you're working to the point of getting sick, or every time you take a vacation, you're getting sick, like, stop, reach out, get some help. You don't have to live that way. And, you don't have to go all the way to completely destroyed. It's going to take years for your body and soul to recover. You can definitely turn it around much, much sooner. And I advise that you do. Yes.
I think everyone would say stop burnout before it happens.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great place to leave it. And of course, you said serenesuccess.net is where people can find you online. I'll, of course, link it in the show notes. But I do have one final question here as we're coming to the end. And of course, if you have any final thoughts, feel free to share them. But my last question is, what is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Ooh, I did a lot of money work in my late 20s. I think, I don't think I realized until I was like 28, 29. That I could make money, that money was for me. I'd grown up in an environment where money was kind of like this worldly thing that you shouldn't really bother thinking about. That didn't lead me to good places financially. And so I think at 28, I was like, I'm done being poor. I'm over it. I do not want to live like this. I want money. Yeah. And I did some work, and I think within a year, I like quadrupled my income.
Wow.
So I think just realizing that money is not bad, that you can make money, there's nothing wrong with making money, that focusing on money is in fact actually healthy. I think those were mindset shifts that I could have benefited from when I was 18 rather than 28. So
fantastic. I love that question because everyone always has a different spin on the same sort of things. Just get started sooner, wish they would have done this piece sooner, or a lot of the answers are about compound interest, but everyone has their own spin and story. And that's what makes talking about money so fun. So fantastic, Hannah. Thank you so much for joining. This has been a great conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Hannah for coming on the episode. That was a fantastic interview all about burnout. I know I took away a lot, and I immediately went and talked to my wife about the interview. So go make sure to have a money talk about what you learned today. But how does this impact you? How does this impact your wallet? Well, this is a money show. So why would burnout matter? Well, it matters because it impacts how we spend and save our money. We may overspend because we want to make up for feeling bad at work because we're burnt out. Maybe we make less money because we can't produce at work anymore. Burnout can be very impactful both on your wallet because of your expenses and your income. And of course, it's impactful in other areas of our life. Your physical health might be degraded because of sleep deprivation, your cognitive awareness can be decreased, and your mental health, of course, can be impacted because you're not having any sort of purpose. You've lost focus. You've lost passion. Your social impact isn't there because you don't know what to do and you're exhausted. And you heard in the interview how it can feel like emotional erosion. And that erosion can apply to the rest of your life and begin to break down things that are good. If you've ever looked at nature and you're just saying, wow, this water is really just carving through this landscape, that's the kind of thing that burnout can do. And it just leaves big trenches like canyonlands or giant canyons like the Grand Canyon through your physical, emotional, and mental health as it begins to erode you away because you just get burnt out and tired of whatever you're doing. So this topic is very important and one that is definitely worth getting ahead of. But next, I want to talk about the money talking points. So the money talking points for today's episode. The first one is, do you have any symptoms of emotional erosion? Those could be brain fog, stress, irritability, anxiety, sleep issues, dread, exhaustion. Are you feeling those when you're trying to work? Becoming aware of these now and take steps to correct them early. That's going to be the biggest thing that's going to help you out. Have you ever been hiking and seen restoration areas where there's some maybe chicken wire or something over some of the plants and the ground is protected? Set up areas like that in your life with boundaries. Set up a restoration area to help you get back on track with awareness. Because when you have less stress and anxiety and your sleep is getting better, you can get back on track. Because I think sleep isn't valued enough. Sleep works like magic, honestly, and certainly will compound in the wrong direction if you deprive yourself of sleep. 2 hours of sleep is not worth the same amount of time you're cutting it off in other areas. So let's say in the weekend you're like, oh, I'm going to sleep 12 hours Friday night into Saturday morning because I took off an hour from the other days. Those 4 hours you're trying to make up are not equivalent to the 4 hours you lost earlier in the week. It's just not linear like that when it comes to making up sleep. You really can't do it. You have to make sure you're staying on top of your sleep throughout the entire week. I could go on and on about sleep, but instead let's talk about the second money talking point. Are you prone to any of the four success traps? These are people pleasing, overhelping, perfectionism, and too busy. I think we can all go through phases where we try to do all of these things. I wonder if maybe there's times where it's okay to do these things for a little while, but doing them all or any one of them for too long can be very, 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 very damaging. Which one are you prone to? Go and have a talk about it. Awareness is the first step to beating it, but how can you overcome it now that you're aware? Well, people pleasing. You can be aware of it and maybe take a step back or try saying no to somebody when they ask you to help them out. Overhelping. Maybe you're trying to step in to help someone out everywhere you can, even though they haven't asked for your help. Again, be aware of it and just stop yourself. It's very easy because you'll be like, wow, I feel free now that I'm not forcing myself to do X tasks that I wasn't really asked to do. Perfectionism can be a really, really hard one. It's very difficult to submit something that's maybe not your perfect work because you just need to get it done and stop overworking and burning yourself out. And you have a trap to try to be too busy. Do you feel like busyness is the only element of success? Again, become aware of it. And then set boundaries on your time. Build that restoration area that's going to require you to sleep. The work towards this can be huge towards getting ahead of burnout and helping you keep the job that you like because you're not going to get burnt out by it. But let's wrap it all up next. Thank you all for listening to this episode, and thank you to Hannah for coming on and talking about burnout. I know this interview helped me and my wife get ahead of burnout and recognize a few things in our life that we can change, and I hope it does the same for you, and I know it can. What did you learn from today's episode? Go and share that and this episode with a friend and have a money talk. How is burnout impacting your wallet? How do you stop burnout? Teach a friend about what you learned, and that's the best way to make it stick. Last week was 3 years of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Thank you all for helping this podcast grow and success. I can't wait to see what the future holds for this show. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.